Blog Talk Radio.
Instructions of life toward chesed, instructions of life toward rachem, instructions of mercies. You're now tuned into Blog Talk Radio, and we humbly assert we're the higher inner frequency. We call it Soul Talk. This is Soul Talk number 783. This is Open Mic Sunday, part one. Blessed is our creator, Baruch Hashem. Blessed is the human family condition. With creator's help, we've handed the broadcast right now on December 3rd, 2022. Now, 10:31 Eastern Standard Time, live from Turtle Island equals AKA equals USA. Uniting Souls, actually, topic for discussion, whatever comes to mind, including reviewing what is a blessing and what is a curse. Our call in number, if you want to make the show a little bit more organic, I made a mistake on the promo. It's not 844-200-4449. That's my, as the host, call in number. The number is actually 563-999-3688. That's 563, as John Lennon would say, number nine. 3688, and we have joining us today Rambam student, teacher, and disseminator of the teachings of the Nesher Gadol, the great eagle, Dennis Rimes. Let's just turn down the music. This is a composition by Barry Weber, and I don't know the name of the song, but I know he's saying a lot. Oy, oy, oy. Let's turn down the music. Get out with the big shoe. Dennis, good morning, sir.
Previous Tovarish.
Slava Boga.
Hello,
blessings
God.
God. Yeah. Okay, Dennis and before we get into the meat of today's presentation, hopefully, I want to wish a mazel tov to the entire human family condition, because last time we broadcast, I don't think we were there yet, but now, Dennis, the current world population is 8,003,539,000. And 851, and it keeps on going up. The number of human beings that were born today with the divine image to get off in scrimmage was over 161,000, and there are 80,000 plus people who have gone on to the next level of life. And I know there's been concern echoed in some quarters and some chambers of discussion of social engineering that there's too many people, but look, we see that the Almighty responds, let them be fruitful and multiply. Let's review some of the top most populated countries. We have China with almost 1.5 billion people, China with about 1.4 million, America 335 million, Indonesia 280,000. Number 20 is Thailand at 70 million, Germany has 84 million, Turkey has 86 million, Iran has 86 million, Vietnam 99 million, Egypt 107 million, Ethiopia 122 million plus, Japan 125 million, Mexico 132 million, Russia 146 million, Bangladesh 168 million, Brazil 216 million, Nigeria 219 million, Pakistan 231 million, and Indonesia 280 million. I think I skipped the DR Congo is 96 million, and Turkey is 86 million. Those are the top 20 countries. Now, if we go back to 1950, blessed souls, let's see if we can I guess I'm not going to get that information. But if I'm not mistaken, Dennis, I think in 1930 the world population was 2 billion, if I remember correctly. Maybe I'm off by a billion, too much or too little. But certainly we see with all the chicanery, with all the social engineering, the human family experience keeps on expanding. What's your take on this matter?
Well, there is an old piece of advice that was given in olden days, and that was go forth and multiply. Well, all those numbers show you we are multiplying, and we will continue to do so, regardless of good times or bad times. Why? God is behind most people, and we will continue to survive.
Amen. Amen. And I'd like to say that when we talk about commandments, blessed souls, we're not just talking about the command, meaning there is a commander and we are the commandees, but rather there's actually a what we say in Hebrew, nesinus koach, a giving over of power and strength and potentiality, that the Creator didn't give us commandments for naught, meaning the Creator in Creator's ultimate wisdom. Actually, I believe, Dennis, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, I think he told the animal kingdom to be fruitful, multiply, because the animal kingdom was created before the speaking kingdom, which is basically us. Of course, animals speak, but not in the manner that we do. So I think that's a very important point. Yes.
He told all life to go forth and multiply.
That's right, right. So I think it's very important for people to understand, if they're sort of, as we call them, commandments in English, or...
Mitzvahs
in Jewish. What's that? Mitzvahs in Hebrew, right?
Jewish.
Right. You know, that this is, again, the Almighty didn't give us things that we can't accomplish. He didn't say it would be easy. In fact, I recently heard a emissary of the Lubavitcher Rebbe mention, the Rebbe said to him, I didn't see in a contract you signed with the Almighty that he said life would be easy. And sometimes life is not easy. Sometimes life is not easy, and I just want to explain, Dennis,
We must remember what Isaiah said. This is a test. He didn't say it was easy. He didn't say it was hard. It is a test, and all humans are tested on earth.
Right. And I think, Dennis, we're bringing, I believe this is Rob, Rob Walker?
Yeah. Hey, good morning.
Morning, Rob. Good morning, Rob. We're celebrating. I don't know if you heard the dialogue, initial dialogue. I'm sorry. I didn't go back into the site where I can see someone calling in. We're celebrating the fact that the human family experience has just reached 8 billion, which, if I recall correctly, is about 6 billion more than 1930. And we see the power of the Almighty's command, be fruitful and multiply, and no matter what chicanery, whatever sort of social engineering is taking place behind the curtain, we see that there are more and more people, which in the magnitude of the people is the glory of the king. Your take on these matters.
Well, first of all, Dennis, good morning. Good to hear your voice. I was listening. Don, thanks. Good to hear your voice.
Rob.
And God is great that we're here again another Sunday morning. So, God did say, Dennis said a moment ago, God said, you know, go forth and multiply. God said, be fruitful and multiply. And we know that through the scripture, that whatever God purposes will not come back void, that whatever he says will come to pass. Whether we believe it or not, whether we believe we have a hand in it or not, whether we're paying attention to the numbers as they're climbing gradually but ever so steadily or not, things will happen as God has commanded and has prophesied through the prophets. So that's astonishing. From 1930 till now, 6 billion more people have been added. I mean, that is an exponential amount of growth. That is almost insane in a sense. I mean, I can't quantify it. I can't find the word or terminology to clearly define what that looks like. But that's amazing. And as you said, it's a testament to the fact that God has a plan, and that the numbers mean something. We're not just 8 billion people just, you know, miscellaneously. These numbers have absolute meaning and authority in terms of how God wants to see the world move forward. And it'll be interesting to see what that plan unfolds and becomes.
Beautiful. I just want to mention, maybe you gentlemen are aware of this, there's some sort of stone edifice that was made over 40 years ago. And on it, it said that, you know, like it has like some sort of human intellectual perception of what will stabilize the planet. And I think one of the edicts of this human intellectual projection or perception, I would call it a misperception, is to reduce the human population to under, I think, like 500,000 or 600,000 people, which would basically be an attempt at genocide, and God forbid, we're up to 8 billion people. That's six times the amount of people. And yet, you know, it's been shown logistically by various types of, whether it be sociologists or scientists or mathematicians, that you can fill basically all the 8 billion people in the state of Texas, and you have the rest of the earth to till the soil. Now, of course, we're not going to do that because we're not going to uproot people from their indigenous lands or lands they've moved into. But it shows that there is plenty of land, there are plenty of resources, and yet there are some people crying out, there's too many people in the world. Dennis, why do people formulate this idea there's too many people in the world?
They don't know how to share. They don't want to share. And they want more control over the people. You can only do that if you reduce population.
Right. But excuse me one second. Rob, there's other people in the room where you're speaking?
No, I'm by myself. You hear a background sound?
I'm hearing people talking in the background. Dennis, do you have people talking in your living room or dining room, wherever you
might
be?
Absolutely.
No, I think I'm too close to the television. Let me separate myself from the television. I have my granddaughter today, gentlemen. So she's watching a Disney cartoon, and I'm joining you for the program. So I'm just keeping an eye. Okay, sorry.
Hopefully,
Continue, please.
When she grows up, she'll get a grand.
I'm say it again, please. Hello, gentlemen.
Hi, Rob. I guess he meant when she grows up.
I hear you.
I'm saying you would instill in pride in your granddaughter to eventually hear and to listen to her grandfather on the radio.
Amen. Amen. Well, she's a wise three.
Amen.
Okay. When she gets digits.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
We can hear you. No problem. So, Dennis, you mentioned. So, Rob, why are people so concerned that there's too many people on the earth? And I'm going to chime in with my feedback in a moment.
Well, Dennis alluded to it briefly in his comment that they don't know how to share, they don't want to share. But it's also a matter of belief that they are somehow better than the people that are beyond them. So they think that their money or their influence or their power or their titles entitle them to have power over everyone else, and that their blood is better than everyone else's blood, and their existence is ordained by God, and everyone else's is just miscellaneous. So it's a wicked and backward way of looking at life, obviously, and no one who knows God can be thinking that way. So we know obviously that if they believe that they are not in tune with the Creator at all. Because, this is in Genesis, the God said, be fruitful and multiply, and he didn't give a number, he just said, do it. But also, these people believe that, they can eliminate people, they can have more for themselves and expand in ways that they really don't need to. But it is, like Dennis said, again, it's a matter of control and a matter of feeling that, you or these particular people don't need, the people they would like to eliminate have done the work of getting the world to a particular place. And now you're like, the work is done. We're in a good place. We don't need them anymore. Let's eliminate them. And so that is unfortunately what I've heard people say when this topic comes up. I can't comprehend how other people could believe that other people are useless. That, as I said to you, when I first met you, Don, I don't know if you remember the conversation, but I created a logo, and the logo was a peace sign. And then I removed a piece of the peace sign from the logo, and I called this design Unbroken Peace. And people say, there's a piece missing from the peace sign. And I said, the piece that's missing is the piece that we all contribute, that we all are important, that we're all valuable, that we all have a part to play in the human experience. And if you remove anybody's voice from the experience, then we're incomplete. You can't remove the Indian. You can't remove the Jew. You can't remove the Black. You can't remove anybody. It's all by divine design from the Creator. So the fact that, or the idea that people would want to see it differently, it goes completely against what God has said.
True. I agree with you, Rob. And Lubavitcher once talked about why do we learn the story of Adam and Eve? That it boiled down to original man and original woman. And again, I've used this allegory, which is used in Torah teachings, that if you were to take a mold for a dime, a mold for a penny, a mold for a quarter, a mold for a nickel, you would only produce a dime from the dime mold, a penny from the penny mold, a quarter from the quarter mold, and whatever the coin's value is. Used to be a silver dollar mold. But from Adam and Eve, we have all the different, and I don't want to call it races, it's families and nations, because again, I want to emphasize, you do not see one place in Tanakh, which is the prophets and the holy writings like Psalms and Ecclesiastes and Proverbs and the five books of Moses, there is not one mention of humans being a race or races. Rather, families, nations, cousins, mothers, daughters, grandfathers, grandmothers, that's all you see. So this in itself is a distortion, you know, of human consciousness, but it's so embedded that people use it to try to rectify, which I guess you can. You can take a lemon and squeeze it, make a nice cup of lemonade, but it's very important, and I'd like you gentlemen to chime in on this, that we are basically a binary system, human beings. And there's variations in this binary system. There's either the one or the zero in binary systems. I was talking this with my study partners yesterday, another type of reasoning. But you have the thinking of the Cain from the original, you know, book of Genesis, and then you have Abel. Now, Abel represents that one gives one's best effort to the Almighty, and Cain is of the opinion not to give one's best effort and then become jealous of the other person, in that case his brother, of giving one's best effort and eventually killing them, thinking there's not enough for the continuation of the species, the category of human beings. And this is a very, very tragic type of mistake in consciousness, which we see from back then to now. There are those who think there's enough for everyone. Unfortunately, they don't seem to have the power to wield policies to manifest this type of living social reality. As Rob and I tend to have many talks off air about how until the redemption comes, there has to be an improvement in human living conditions. And then there are those who say, no, there are those who say, there's too many people on the earth, there's not enough resources, we've got to stop doing this, we've got to stop doing that. But we know that, you know, in an operation to save someone's life, it's going to be a bloody mess if they're going to do an invasive procedure. And unfortunately, we've come to the point where it's a bloody mess. It doesn't have to be a violent mess, but there has to be some sort of invasive procedure into human consciousness. And for some people to get invasive and to rethink their thinking, it might seem more painful to them than actually facing a person at the other end of the battlefield with a gun, because they feel even more, they feel like their whole life has been a waste. But that's not the case, blessed souls. If we've been mistaken, hey, we're not God. We make mistakes. Therefore, we pick ourselves up from the ground and we make a change in our life day by day, step by step, baby steps. And all growth is not linear. It can be horizontal. It can be vertical. We can take two steps back, one step forward. We can stand before a desk. We can't jump over it. We take five steps back. We can hurdle the desk. So the desks in the creation that we have to hurdle requires that we have to step back. Rob, why are people afraid to step back and realign their lives to a higher level of awareness that this world can be a better place to be?
Wow. Well, I mean, what you said a moment ago, I mean, you said several things that just were mind-blowing. I got, because I see things in pictures you speak, and I saw a lot of visual images in a metaphoric sense to visually describe what it's going to take for there to be a change. And so, again, you know, It won't be anything different than what I mentioned a moment ago. Unfortunately, is just that we have come to a place, and you know, the scripture, you know, clearly illustrates that these things have been going on from the beginning of time. You know that Pharaoh did it. You know, he enslaved the Egyptians, and you know, this, that, and the third. I mean, there's so much information to substantiate the thinking of man, thinking that other men are unnecessary or that we don't have enough. And as Dennis said again, it's a matter of thinking that this belongs to them. In the book of Job, and you told me it's called Job, it says that God says, who do I owe that I should repay? Everything under the heaven belongs to me. So when man clearly understands that nothing here belongs to him, and he thinks he has dominion over it to the point where other men can't have access to it, whether it be food, clothing, and habitation, we are heading down a road that is destructive. No man should be hungry. No man should be homeless. No man should be nothing. Now, destitute is, that comes in many different ways. If a man doesn't work, should he eat? You know, the Bible says if he doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. So we all have to contribute something to the rehabilitation of the earth, you know, and keeping things going. But we are under a system, and, you know, that word system is a very powerful word because it means that it's more powerful than just a simple act or a small behavior. This is embedded in our psyche, our minds as people. We've been taught from birth in many respects that if you are born here, you deserve this. If you're this color, you deserve that. If you're this person, and so you said that there are no races, but we have broken things down into groups where we can justify how we treat people, how we can justify how people shouldn't get, how we can justify what people deserve or don't deserve. And so we are coming to a place where it's like critical mass now. You know, it's critical mass because the masses are crying out. You go to the grocery store, a dozen eggs is $8. I mean, a loaf of bread is $5. A gallon of milk is $5.50. I mean, what did the cow rebel and give less milk? Did the chickens lay less eggs? You know, I mean, like, what are we talking about here? They tell you that it's a production era, but we're in 2022 where we have the most, we are the greatest place in technology we've ever been. So the fact that it's impossible to do these things in an expedient rate is a lie. It's just, and if we believe it, then we play party to our own demise. And so I don't know when we will get to a place, unfortunately. I can't answer the question other than to say that until man looks at men as their brother and not as another, you know, just some other being or some other foreign being, we're not going to solve the problem because it'll always be a caste system, a hierarchy, a black and white situation. And I'll leave you with this last thought. My mother said to me yesterday, she says, we were talking about race and color, and we've listened to some politics, and she says that even the racist fails to understand that the person that he hates, he's breathing the same air as the person that he hates. The dogs are breathing the same air. The bigot is breathing the same air as the cattle, as the bird, as the earthworm. Everyone's breathing the same air. How can anyone be better? Is there a better quality of air in Beverly Hills as opposed to Brooklyn? I mean, well, that's questionable based on, you know, environment. But you get the point. We're all breathing the same air. How can one treat the other incorrectly or diminish the value of their life? So that's my take on it.
Dennis, your feedback from you, Dennis.
Well, let me try to simplify some of this. There's only one race. It's called the human race.
Okay.
And we must remember that we are all children of God. And until we learn to honor other people who are children of God, we won't know how we really should behave.
Beautiful. I'd like to quote something from Robert Trevin. I'm sorry. Yes, someone want to chime in?
No, I was going to say, you know, Dennis, you said that so simply and beautifully, and I want to say that's precisely it. We don't see each other. when you remove Torah, when you remove Scripture, when you remove Bible from society, and you replace it with other forms of education that are not forms of education but are things that are contrary to God, whether it be lifestyle choices, whether it be alternative lifestyle choices, whether it be you saying people should do whatever they want to do. But you have to understand that God said it in Deuteronomy. He said that if you are careful to do all the things that I say, he made it very clear in his word that you have to do what he says for there to be peace, for there to be growth, for there to be development. The Rebbe, and everyone can attest to the fact, those that are here and those that are gone, that it's doing all of what God says to the best of our ability. Now, only God knows if we're doing our best to bring his word forth and to do what he says in his word. But people say, well, I'm going to do six things that God says, but I think I'll leave out the other four. And it doesn't work that way. It's like if the doctor says to you, hey, Don, you know, you have a little infection. I'm going to give you these antibiotics, and I want you to take them for 7 days. And after 3 days, you feel a little bit better. After the fourth day, you feel great. You stop taking those, you know, you don't take the other three pills. An infection, it comes back, and doctor says, well, Don, what happened? I gave you the medicine. No, I felt better. I didn't take all of it. Don, you didn't follow instructions. You're supposed to do all of what I said, and then you would have gotten the result. So we're not in that place, and the powers that be are not interested in seeing people flourish because in their mind, it would diminish their power to see other people powerful that they don't deem as valuable life. So that's just a perspective.
True. I'd like to share something now, a snippet from the Lubavitch Rebbe. I'm looking forward to both of you gentlemen's comments on this. This world's virtue is that one can achieve things that can only be achieved down here on this blessed earth. Only there are many delusions and misconceptions that prevent a person from hitting the target. And actually, the Rebbe clarified that one of the struggles that human beings have is believing that every step of their way is established by the Most High. But what's the proof that the Rebbe brings? From King David's Psalms. In Psalms 37, verse 23, man's, which also means women's, or woman's, man's step or human steps are established by the Almighty, that every soul has its own individual mission. It's incumbent upon it to refine and bring about the rectification of something specific in a particular place. Only this particular soul can fulfill its specific mission. Sometimes that which means refinement or rectification waits for centuries, even since the world's creation, for this soul to come and refine it to bring about its rectification. This soul, too, ever since it came into being, has been waiting for its time to descend so that it can fulfill the mission assigned to it of refining and bringing about rectification. So, Dennis, why is it? I mean, people talk about Psalms, they talk about different types of levels of spirituality. Why do people struggle with the fact that we've been sent on a certain mission and our steps have been established by the Almighty that we can go ahead and improve our little part of the world?
Well, in your discussion there, you used the word particular several times. Now, what happens is, when God gave us the Ten Commandments on the tablets, there was no particular sequence or ones, and he didn't say, choose what you want. He gave you the tablets. He meant, use everything in the tablets. You can't go around and pick and choose for your pleasure or particular, as you call it. What happens is, we must remember that we are dealing with the Almighty. The Almighty doesn't come in parts, and he never gave us parts to follow. We follow what we are, children of God, like it or not, live with it.
True. Rob, why do people struggle that their steps have been placed before them by the Almighty? You know, there's a famous picture I remember when I was a teenager that it showed someone saying how when they couldn't carry on, you see like footprints in the sand, that's when I knew God was carrying me. Why can't people accept this on a daily basis and make it a part of their living, their actions and their speech and their thoughts?
Well, you know, the Bible says a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Man shall not. So basically, man does not want to be controlled by anything other than his or herself. They are just, you know, the Bible calls them a stiff-necked people. So they have, they're determined to do things their way until God shows them a sign that is unfavorable to them. There's a scripture that says, I'm paraphrasing, my mind's a little bit jarred at the moment, but it says, because God is slow to wrath, the children of man is mine is set to evil. That word set, I mean, it's like a dial on a stove. It's like it's set to a certain temperature. They're set to do this until God shakes them up or kills them or sends them a pandemic or sends them something that, you know, that leaves them in woe and gnashing of teeth. And then they go, oh, my God, well, we'll do better this time. And then when God repairs it, they'll go back. And once there's some time between the fixing and the reparation of what has been negative, then they'll gradually get back into their wicked ways. They don't want to be controlled. They don't want to be obedient. And so the disobedience brings on the wrath of God. You know, sin brings on death. But they're determined to try to undermine God because they can't see him in the physical sense. But they don't understand they are seeing him in the physical sense, and they see the trees and the water and nature and how things move, but that they have no control over. Man's problem is that the reason they struggle is because they want control over everything that God has given to them. The Bible says that be careful lest you believe that you made the money yourself, that you created the wealth yourself, that you are keeping yourself. God says, you know, you will be my children and I will be your God. So you're not your own God. But man is determined in his mind because he can read and write and add and subtract and build and make these wonderful things that he says, oh, thank you, God. But he says it out of his mouth or her mouth, but he doesn't really or she doesn't really mean it in the context that they're giving God all the credit. They're giving themselves most of the credit and God is kind of like, it's kind of like tucked in there somewhere as well. It lends itself to the understanding when I see these musicians on stage or these rappers. And they win an award, and they go, I want to thank God for helping me out. And I'm like, well, what God are you thanking? You made misogynistic music. You were cursing and swearing and calling people B's and H's and all types of other things. And everything was contrary to the gospel, contrary to the Torah, contrary to righteousness.
So what part did God play in that creation? That was your. Those are your thoughts. Those are, so how are you giving God credit for it? And you don't live a godly lifestyle. So it goes back to the thing that they want control over everything, and it's evident in how we treat each other. So there's no separation if you look at it socially. It's just all one thing, and they don't want to be. They don't want to live a life that is in lock and step with what God wants, because they feel like they're being suppressed or oppressed. Like, oh well, God, why can't I do this? Well, because this is going to lead to that. But they're not satisfied with that. That's just the nature of man, you know. It's from the very beginning of time. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Yeah, that's all.
Yes, ma'am.
What happens is we have a lot of people that think they can use God as an excuse. What? For their own failure. But they believe that I could be a better person, but God doesn't let me. Is that an excuse to say that you are inadequate, but God is not helping you? That is wrong thinking. You have turned upside down if you think you can use God as an excuse. God wants you to do everything and do it well. Humans are the ones that say, well, I'll try this, but not that. There is no picking and choosing if you want to do good things. Either they're all good or they're not. So we cannot use God as an excuse, because he created us and he put us here on the planet Earth. You must follow the good ideas that you were born with and continue doing so. If you think all of a sudden you can change the direction of your life to one that is better than God has planned for you, good luck.
Wow.
I was going to speak about it, and then I forgot, but I wanted to bring this point back up, that one of the reasons why there was a cessation of us doing our humble efforts here on Blog Talk Radio is about 3 weeks ago, I lost a friend, and the same day I lost my one of my clients. My friend passed away at the tender age of 60. My client passed away at the tender age of 36. And then the next day, my mother had a heart attack. That was a rough week. And when I went into that Shabbos, there's a friend of mine. He's from Jamaica. His name is Fabian. And I mentioned to him, you know, I really need this coming Shabbos, this coming Sabbath, to really reboot myself. And he said to me something very profound. I want to share it with you gentlemen and people listening around the world, especially those people out in Russia. We've got a little spike in listenership, by the way, from the people out in Russia. I'm sure they're tired of that insane
war. Hey,
Russia. What's going on with Russia in Ukraine is truly insane, because they're the same people. Anyway, that's just a little political commentary. That's about as far as I'll go with that. That he said to me, you know, when a person, this is what Fabian told me, when a person goes through these experiences, a person might think that this negativity is their destination. He said, a person has to stop, rethink, and realize our destination is eternity. So, unfortunately, to our, you know, disappointment at times, that on the road to eternity, there's some bumps in the road. And from that point on, that kind of like, I said, wow, you know what? You brought me some healing with those thoughts, Fabian. So I wanted to share that with everyone else. Anyone who's going through a rough time, and although I can't get back my friend and my client, my mother is on the repair, thank God, and she's going through a rehab process. And it turned out she dodged a bullet, thank God, and then she went back into the hospital. She dodged that bullet, and now we're working with her to get her into a positive state of mind to keep on doing as she's been doing. As an 86-year-old little, human Tonka toy, like one of those little bulldozers. She's just bulldozing away at 4'11" to her travails. And we wish this program also to be in the merit of the healing of my mother, Yiska Bas Chaya Sara. Okay, anyway, so Dennis, why do people forget that we are on an eternal road and get bogged down by unfortunate things that can really play with their head?
Well, they think that things that are personally happening to them is different from everybody else. And if you think that you're different from everybody else, then your pain and suffering is going to be different. You're going to want sympathy for your personal problems. What we don't realize that the whole gamut of emotions in a lifetime are experienced by all the humans on the planet. There is no perfect place other than heaven. And that's where we're tested to see if we qualify for heaven. And we must be able to adhere to the good things and the sayings and what is written as positive for humans. You must follow the positive road. If you take a turn in the road, you take the turn at your own expense. But don't give us excuses, done better, or made better choices. It is very simple. Follow God and its positive ideas, and you will be protected to a certain degree. That doesn't mean you're not going to die. That's not part of the schedule of events on the good side, that friends will die. All people will die. We are carbon units that are dated. When that date is up, we must give up the unit. So everything, if you look at it, is really temporary. And if you can't handle the temporary ups and downs in a road in your lifetime, maybe your thinking is off.
Thank you, Dennis. Rob, how do we convince someone, or how do we remind them or educate them that they're on an eternity road of eternity or eternity road, and yet some of those bumps seem to block our vision of the eternity, the path of eternity that we're all embarking on?
Well, easier said than done. Easier said than done, and I'll say it one more time for good measure. Easier said than done. Can I say it one more time? Easier said than done. It is nearly impossible, you know, for us to, in these bodies, these vessels made of clay, these instruments, you know, that play some beautiful music at times and at other times plays a sour note, these bodies that feel amazing in one moment and then completely horrible in the next, a mind that looks out into the ocean or the sea and is filled with gratitude and wonder, and then the next moment, you know, you look at something else, you see you're standing on a street corner and you just feel depleted and depressed. So it is almost impossible to completely encourage or motivate anybody all the time, because if that were the case, you know, as far as like when we talk about in church, we talk about Christ and we talk about how Jesus spoke to people. Some believed, some didn't believe. Some listened, some didn't listen. Some followed. So, you know, I remember there was a point in the scripture when the man said to his Jesus, how can I follow you? And Jesus said, well, give up all your possessions and follow me. And there was a rich man, and the rich man turned away sorrowful and walked away. He couldn't do it. And so we are attached to, you know, in totality, we are attached to joy. We're attached to happiness. We think that any moment that those things are not apparent in our lives, that somehow God is betraying us or that we are suffering more than anybody else in the world. But this is part of the time that we're going to spend here. The Bible says that a man born of a woman is full of trouble, and you know, few days and full of trouble. So it's what our expectations to be happy all the time or to be in a good space all the time is really unrealistic. You know, it's just unrealistic. And I mean, we can want it, and that's, you know, why the 8 billion people comes into play, because the earth is filled with people that we can lean on each other, we can encourage each other, especially if there are people that are being born that are following God. Imagine 6 billion people were born from 1930 to now that are all following God, and the 2 billion that was there first weren't following. So now we got 6 billion people that are walking in a direction that encourages everyone else that's going through these moments. So these numbers always add up to something if they are numbers that lean on the side of righteousness. So, you know, let me take a moment to say I'm sorry about your losses, Don. I mean, that's, you know, horrific. I'm really sorry, and I'm glad your mom is doing better.
Thank you.
I had the pleasure of talking to my mom, who's 77, on the phone yesterday for about 2 hours, 3 hours, and we talk about every little thing. And one of the things she said to me also was that she says when you were young, you were very rambunctious. You wouldn't sit still. You're all over the place. And da da da. And this teacher in school that took an interest in you. Her name is Miss Priesta. And she's, you know, she's got you interested in arts and crafts, and here I am, you know, many years later, still focused on the same thing. And she says, whenever you feel, you know, out of sorts with yourself, get a pen, get a piece of, you know, get a paper and a pencil or a pen and sit down and write your thoughts or scribble something or draw something and release these things. Because there won't always be someone around to encourage you. There won't always be someone around to help you. Sometimes you're going to have to use it. It's going to be you and God quietly in a space. And so, I mean, what you asked is a loaded question, Don. I could go on forever. But I think everyone listening can agree that it's impossible to have good days all the time. But it's also impossible to have bad days all the time. You just had a birth in your family. You know what I'm saying? You became a grandfather. That was a great day. That was a great day, you know? So you know, your son did a marathon. That's a great day. That's a great experience. So now today, you know, you're dealing with your mom recovering. That's a not-so-great day. You know, it's ebb and flows, and we have to give God allow some rain into our lives, but some sunshine at the conclusion of it. And so if we are honoring him and to get to the eternal part, this is only a short stop on the bus. We're going to spend the bulk of our time beyond this time. 3 scores and 10 is the goal. Everything beyond that is extra. You know, Moses made 120. David, King David, made 70. Solomon, I think, made 55 or 60. So it's
52.
You know,
made
so
it
we
52.
Get 52. So yeah, I mean, God gave him so much wisdom, but he didn't make it as far as his father made it. I mean, whether because of the stress up, maybe the wisdom gave him stress. You know, so, I mean, I was thinking about it yesterday. I said, wow, he lived this, you know, early 50s, but his father lived to be sent. This man had more wisdom than anybody before him, after him. God promised him that. And so it's just amazing how God does. No one can figure out. You'd think if he had all the wisdom, he would live to be 120 like Moses and go to She-Hulk at a good old age. We don't know what God is thinking, like as Dennis said. But what we have to do before I stop is always praise God for what he is giving us.
Yes.
Stop complaining. Stop lamenting. Stop being ungrateful. Well, I'm so grateful. Then stop complaining if you're grateful. I'm happy. Then stop complaining. So, your mother is in her 80s. You know, he gave you a lot. He gave us a lot. That's also, if we look at the day-to-day stuff that we're given, the 365 days in a year, and he gives us 280 days of peace, and we have another 100 of chaos, can we really complain? That's all. Sorry, Dennis. I know you were going to say something.
I just want to chime in that I know you believe in the road of eternity, Rob, because you mentioned earlier in your comments in this segment that you could go on about this forever.
I do. this sidebar, gentlemen, you guys, you know, Don, I'm going to say to you just really quickly for 30 seconds, this show is one of the best things I've done with my time as a human. Because you're speaking right from your soul. I know you to be a person that speaks right from the soul. Dennis has to be equally as powerful as you, because if he's your friend, then I know you're in good company. So I'm grateful to be a part of this group. That's all I'm going to say.
We started over 12 years ago, Rob, and Dennis is the only one who has continued to work with. In fact, we actually lost a co-host who passed away in 2018, Joseph Israel. He's a wonderful young man who succumbed to a sickness, and other people have just kind of like just stepped off and gone doing other things, and they're doing other good things. Dennis, if you want to add something else, we want go to the next segment, or we'll just go right to the next segment.
Yes, a very simple concept. If you don't have enough faith and belief, you are going to be a lonely person. So when you think of what is the future or bumps in the road, you're going to think you have to do it all by yourself. Your faith and belief will overcome the questions in your mind that you use as an excuse to jump someplace else and to quickly draw false conclusions that are fine for the planet Earth, but they don't work in heaven. So you must be careful that the thinking that you use is not going to stay on the Earth after you die. No, faith and belief will carry you to heaven.
Beautiful. So, gentlemen, we're about 15 minutes away to the conclusion of today's program, and I want to talk about this whole idea that people have a misconception or a misperception or underestimate the implications and the straight-out meanings of what is a blessing and what is a curse. I'd like to go to Genesis 12, 1 through verses, Genesis 12, 1, 12, 2, and 12, 3, that the Almighty said to Abram, who we know as Abraham, before he had his circumcision, the covenant of circumcision, he was known as Abram. Go for yourself from your land, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. Verse 2, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. 3, I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you, I will curse. And all the families of the earth shall bless themselves by you. So Torah, blessed souls, is an expression not just of a story or a narrative, but Torah, it's instruction. So in order for Abraham to be given this great blessing by the Almighty, being blessed by the Almighty, and you shall be a blessing, and those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you will be cursed, he had to go out of his land, from his relatives, and from his father's house, to get out of the comfort zone. And many people just think a blessing is like going in every 2 weeks to get a paycheck. It's not. It meaning we have to, at some level, get out of our familiarity. In fact, there's a teaching in the oral Torah tradition of Israel that for a person really to receive the Torah properly, he has to spit out his mother's milk. Now, no one's going to assert that their mother's milk is something damaging about it, but it's a hinting to the idea of what a person was accustomed to. Even when one was given love from the mother's milk, from his mother's, from where he suckled from his mother, it's not sufficient. A person has to, that was an empowerment that the person now can go on his or her journey to make a name for themselves, and not to become great and have a statue engraved or words on a wall in some hall of honor, but rather it's to the greatness of becoming one's, is going out of one's comfort zone and to realize from there the blessing shall come. And, again, it's an axiomatic principle in the Torah. Those who bless the seed of Abraham shall be blessed. And for those who, I always tell people who want to contest my lineage, I'll say, listen, bless me, you're blessed. And I'll bless you if you say you're of the seed of Abraham. But I'm not going to curse you. But if you curse me, watch out. If I am, right here it says what the implications are. And all the families of the earth, meaning, all, what is it, the families of the earth? Not the races of the earth, the families of the earth, because we all are our original mother, so to speak, is the earth. We've been excavated out of the earth, had the living soul of the Almighty, the living God, the eternal creator, breathed into us, and therefore, earth shall bless earth. Now, don't let earth curse earth. Dennis, since you went with your reaction, Rob, you go first, then we'll turn to Dennis.
I want to hear Dennis's, actually. I want to think. Dennis, please, you before me, sir.
Well, to me, I try to simplify what is considered difficult. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But we must do better than our forefathers or forebears. So the people who came to the earth before us, we're expected to learn what they did and improve or do a step better. If you're not working on doing something better, then what are you working at? Taking a step downstairs as opposed to walking up the stairs? It's your choice. But if you don't realize that what are you here on the earth doing and it has nothing to do with your forebears, then you're mistaken, because you're here because your forebears had something to do with it. So we are all a sum of our past. But do we accept our past? Or can we improve it? So, if you think you can improve it, you're going the way of the blessing. If you think or you're satisfied what has happened in the past, I'm going to do what they did and I'll be well off, you're mistaken. You're sitting on your thoughts. You should be using them and improving.
Beautiful. Rob?
Well, I say this, I look at it from the perspective of what you said, you know, those, one, leaving the comfort zone, and I think that's a very, very difficult thing for most of us to do, you know, being born here and raised in Brooklyn and, you know, a family, some of my family members have moved to different places, and to be honest, they prospered, they've done better, they've done well in some ways, and sometimes staying in this, what they call pole position, you know, just not moving around and not seeing what else the earth has, because they've said, I love life, but life is beyond just one borough or one province or one city. It's a beautiful world out there, but it's difficult when you have ties to a community or ties to a certain group, and to stretch out and to be, you know, advantageous and to be bold enough to do things. And I know sometimes when we're younger, we're a little more apt to do things, but as we get a family, we become grounded and stuff. We don't want to move around. We have our wife, we have our house or our apartment, and we think we play it safe. I'm 60, I'm 55, I'm 70, it's too late. And, you know, but then that is inconsistent with Torah, because Moses walked across the desert starting at 80 to 120. And even when God took him, the Bible says that his eyes were undimmed and his vitality was unshaken. So he was as powerful at 80, at 120, as he was at 80. And God took him for his reasons. But the point is that we give up our power because of a lack of faith. And what Dennis said a moment ago is about having a faith is the most important tool you can have, because for Abraham to obey God, which is counted to him as righteousness, he had to have faith. For him to, you know, so God looked at Abraham's faith as a blueprint to create many more people behind, said, this man can do this, and I can create people. He can be the blueprint for generations, you know. And so let's use him as the model. Was he perfect? No. Was he this? Was he that? No. But was he something that God felt was consistent with what he could make a blueprint from? Absolutely, and it shows. And so you can't curse God's blueprint. So it's beautiful when you see it in that context. We are here for a limited time, and as Dennis said, you have to find out what it is that you're here to do, and serve God with all of your strength, not a portion of your strength. You're not you know, and not overthinking. In the church, they call it stinking thinking. When you overthink, you frustrate God. God says, well, in the book of James, no man who got a double mind to expect anything from God. Let nobody who's double minded means settle on something and go. If it's wrong, God will correct you, or He'll show you how to correct yourself. And so you can make adjustments. But if you don't do anything but think about what you're going to do, then that's inactivity, and that is not going to move God's purpose forward for you. So these are age-old questions, and I think that most times, based on where we come from, who we're associated with, our family history, certain things hold us back and certain things propel us. If you're raised in a house where people are go-getters and they're advantageous and they get out and do things, you're more apt to do those things. If you're a person, you're raised in a house of people who say, well, don't talk so much, be an introvert, don't, and these people are scared to take risks and they grow in this little cluster of things, they don't venture out, you become that. So it's what God says, go from your father's, from where your father was, and I'll show you something that you've never seen before. If you stay where you are, you're going to see the same stuff. Where I'm going to take you, you can't even imagine what you'll see. And I'm going to even change your name from Abram to Abraham, and Sarai will be Sarah. And just like Jacob became Israel, because they changed. They obedience causes a change. And fearlessness and faith causes a change. So that's my take on it.
True. Beautiful. I just want to mention something briefly about curses, because it's something that, again, people misunderstand or underestimate, or sometimes overestimate, in saying someone's been cursed and they'll ever be cursed, which is, excuse me, it's a bunch of nonsense. Okay, we have in chapter 27, verse 14, it says, the Levite shall speak up and say to every man of Israel in a loud voice. Verse 15, accursed is the man, it also refers to a woman, who will make a graven or molten image, an abomination of the Almighty, a craftsman's handiwork, and place it in secret, and the entire people shall speak up and say, Amen. Verse 16, accursed is the one who degrades his mother and father, and the entire people shall say, Amen. Verse 17, accursed is the one who moves the boundary of his fellow, and the entire people shall say Amen. 18, accursed is the one who causes a blind person to go astray on the road, and the entire people shall say Amen. 19, accursed is the one who perverts the judgment of the proselyte, orphan, and widow, and the entire people shall say Amen. Verse 20, accursed is the one who lies with the wife of his father, for he will have uncovered the robe of his father, and the entire people shall say Amen. Verse 21, accursed is the one who lies with any animal, and the entire people shall say Amen. 22, accursed is the one who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and the entire people shall say Amen. 23, accursed is the one who lies with his mother-in-law, and the entire people shall say Amen. 24, accursed is the one who strikes his fellow secretly or to avoid attention, and the entire people shall say Amen. 25, accursed is the one who takes a bribe to kill a person of innocent blood, the entire people shall say Amen. 26, accursed is one who will not uphold the words of this Torah to perform them, the entire people shall say Amen. Now you might say, why so strict? Well, if you go to some place like a power plant, and you're taking a tour of a power plant, you might have the tour guide tell you that we're going to enter a certain area, but I warn you, don't go to a certain place. And then when you're taking that place, you'll see big signs saying, do not pass this area. Danger, it can endanger one's life. So what these curses are, blessed souls, are basically very severe warnings. Don't go there. And I wanted to look at these 14, basically 13 verses that I just read very quickly. Basically, what it is the catalyst for, which can be rooted from the Ten Commandments. We don't have time to go into show how each one is connected to the Ten Commandments, but can see that avoiding these matters of being cursed will lead to a double blessing. And that's something hopefully what we can continue in next week's program. Before we end off today's show, I want to get a brief commentary from Dennis and then Rob on these matters. Dennis?
Well, everybody on earth is imperfect. If you think you're perfect, then you should be in heaven. But you're stuck here on earth and you'll never be perfect. So faith and belief is the key to correct thinking. So if you think you're cursed, change your thinking. You're barking up the wrong tree.
True. Rob?
To append what Dennis said, yeah, curse is a matter of disobedience. Curse is a matter, you said those signs, big bold signs, do not enter, do not enter. Danger, warning, don't do it, don't go there, stay away. Do this, turn your back to that and go this way, go the other way. That way will curse you. You're not cursed, but if you go that way, something's going to happen to you. That's what the curse, that's what you're saying. And, you know, so it's like obedience, again, falls into the conversation. It's like God saying, don't do, if you do these things, you're going to prosper. If you follow all of these things I tell you to do, you're going to do well. If you do those things, you're going to have, you know, problems and, you know, generational problems because everyone will follow that. So I know we're coming to the end of the show, but that's my take on it. Yeah.
Okay. Gentlemen, I hope next week we can reconvene, and I think we should continue this discussion on what is a blessing and what is a curse. But I want to end off with a blessing. This is a blessed song by a group called Pum. Let's see, how do we say their name? Their name is called Pumpadisa, which is actually one of the academies in Babylon going back into ancient times when the oral Torah law was reviewed and congealed into what is known as the Talmud. But the words to this song are, Enel Mavo, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yuked, the Almighty is King, the Almighty was King, the Almighty will always be King forever. And Ein Od Milvada, Efez Lasol, there is no other one, nothing without, because the Almighty is King, was King, and always will be King. So I want to mention, everyone, blessed souls, that if you want to go in the way of the Almighty, it's time to prepare the world for the universal redemption by getting rid of our own personal hatreds, getting rid of our own personal jealousies, not to be in competition with anyone else. This is not a promotion of capitalism or socialism or fascism or communism. It's a promotion of a spirit of the Almighty that we will witness very speed in our days in a way of Ahav Echad, one love, Goral Echad, one destiny for Kulano, for all of us, but dark Shalom, a peaceful, pleasant way. Let's remember everyone has a divine image, all 8 billion plus, 8 billion, 3 million people, and will be even increasing by the end of this song. And therefore, let's all stay strong, and for the naysayers that say there's not enough, we'll say, the Almighty command us, be fruitful, multiply. Surprise, surprise, we're past 8 billion. Here we go. Take care, everyone.
Amen.
Share. Ain't no nobody.